In the light of hadith, 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 in the light of hadith.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله we are present in our سلسلة in the light of hadith. Today, we'll try to cover two ahadith. An explanation of those two ahadith would be learned, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. And both ahadith are about the same topic and about the same matter. Hadith has been narrated about Hazrat Mu'ad bin Jabal, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a famous companion of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The first narration has been reported from Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The text of narration is An Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu anna an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa Mu'adh radifuhu 'ala ar-rahli qala ya Mu'adh ibn Jabal qala labbayk ya Rasul Allah wa sa'dayk qala ya Mu'adh qala labbayk ya Rasul Allah wa sa'dayk thalatha qala ما من احد يشهد ان لا اله الا الله وان محمد رسول الله صدقا من قلبه الا حرمه الله على النار قال يا رسول الله افلا اخبر به الناس فيستبشروا قال اذا يتقلوا واخبر بها معاذ عند موته تأثما. The translation is Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reported, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu was co-rider with the Prophet when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, O Mu'adh. Mu'adh replied, Here I am responding to you and at your pleasure, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again called out, O Mu'adh. He again replied, Here I am responding to your call and at your pleasure, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam addressed him again. O Mu'adh, he replied, Here I am responding to you and at your pleasure, Ya Rasulullah. Upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, If anyone testifies sincerely that there is no true God except Allah, and Muhammad is his slave and messenger. Truly from his heart, Allah will safeguard him from hell. Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulallah, shall I not then inform people of it? So that they may have glad tidings? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Then they will rely on it alone. Means, they give up good works. Then Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala disclosed this hadith at the time of his death to avoid sinning for concealing. Imam Bukhari and Muslim rahmatullah alayhima reported this hadith. The next hadith is also narrated from Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The content is same, but there are some other words and sentences which should be mentioned as well, so that we can derive some points from those words as well. So that's why I'll recite the other narration as well. The content of that hadith is, Al-Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu, قَالَ كُنْتُ رِدْفَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَىٰ حِمَارِ يُقَالُ لَهُ عُفَيْءَ فَقَالَ يَا مُعَاذ هَلْ تَدْرِي حَقَّ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ وَمَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ اللَّهِ قُلْتُ Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fa inna haqq Allahi 'ala al-'ibad an ya'buduhu wa la yushriku bihi shay'a. Wa haqq al-'ibad 'ala Allahi an la yu'adhdhiba man la yushriku bihi shay'a. فقلت يا رسول الله افلا ابشر به الناس قال لا تبشرهم فيتقلوا. معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه reported, I was the co-rider with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم on a donkey. He صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, O Muaz, do you know what is the right of Allah upon his slaves and what is the right of his bondsmen upon Allah? I said, Allah and his messenger know better. Upon this, the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah's right upon his bondsmen is that they should worship him alone and associate nothing with him. And his bondsmen's right upon him is that he should not punish who does not associate a thing with him. Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu added, I said to the Messenger of Allah, shall I give the glad tidings to people? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, do not tell them this good news, for they will depend on it alone. Imam Bukhari and Muslim have reported this hadith. In both hadith, the content is same. First, I'll mention some things to understand the meanings of hadith, and then inshallah upon words we'll discuss. The first thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called upon Hadrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was behind the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the same beast. And he was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but even then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him thrice. And every time Hadrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu answered, Ya Rasulullah, labbaika wa sa'daika Ya Rasulullah, I am present Ya Rasulullah. Then again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him. He again replied, labbaika Ya Rasulullah wa sa'daika. Then the third time. Why? The reason to make Hadrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu more attentive, because when he was called again and again and he was present there and he is answering, Ya Rasulullah, I am present here, and then again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling him, it means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is drawing his attention properly, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to mention a very very important belief of Islam, a very very important thing of Islam. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him thrice, and Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu became too much attentive. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him the thing. So that is the way to draw the attention of someone, one of the ways. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the matter of tawheed. Haqqullahi ala al-ibad an ya'buduhu wa la yushriku bihi shay'a. The bondsman should worship Allah alone and they must not associate anything with Allah in worship. That was the matter which has been mentioned in this hadith. The matter of tawheed, the belief of tawheed, has its significance, and that is the most important and one of the most essential belief in Islam, the oneness of Allah, regarding the oneness of Allah. And that's why, as Allah Azza wa Jalla remind us of this belief again and again every day in every prayer. Yes, in prayer, this recitation of Surah Fatiha is wajib. Imam, he will recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And if we are offering prayer alone, so then we will recite Surah Fatiha in every rak'ah. Behind Imam, we will remain silent and Imam will recite. But when we are offering prayer alone, so then we will recite Surah Al-Fatiha ourselves. And in Surah Al-Fatiha, the ayah, Iyyaka na'budu, you alone we worship. And that is the meaning of Tawheed. That is Tawheed. That is the oneness of Allah. That He is worthy of worship. And none is worthy of worship except Allah. So Almighty Allah is reminding us of Tawheed in every prayer, in Surah Al-Fatiha, daily, many times, Why? Because the significance of this belief. Then, other than Surah Al-Fatiha, mostly we recite in our prayers Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. And other than prayer, there are many excellences of recitation of Surah Ikhlas. What is the reason? Because the subject, the topic of this surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, is oneness of Allah, the belief of Tawheed. As Qul Huwallahu Ahad, say, O beloved Prophet, He is Allah alone. He is one. Huwallahu Ahad, Allahu Samad. He is independent. So, because in Surah Al-Ikhlas, the topic is Tawheed and oneness of Allah, so that's why it has a lot of excellences. In recitation of this surah, there are many excellences. Then, in Ayatul Kursi, it has a lot of excellences. Recitation of Ayatul Kursi has a lot of excellences. So, what is the topic of Ayatul Kursi? Recite it and see what is the meaning. Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. The first sentence is Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Allah, none is worthy of worship except Him. Except He. He is worthy of worship. So the topic of Ayatul Kursi is Tawheed. And the topic of Surah Al-Ikhlas is Tawheed. Then there are many excellences of the last verses of Surah Al-Hashr. They are a hadith in which it has been mentioned to recite Surah Al-Hashr, the last verses of Surah Al-Hashr in morning and evening. There are many excellences. And what are those ayat? And what is the topic of those ayat? هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ وَالرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Refutation of shirk. Refutation of polytheism. Association with Allah. And the importance and the significance of Tawheed. And the belief of Tawheed has been mentioned there. هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. Then, سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. So, most of those ayat in which the matter of Tawheed has mentioned and the attributes of Almighty Allah has mentioned, those have excellences. As Surah Al-Fatiha, as قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ شَرِيفُ, as the last verses of Surah Al-Hashr. So, because the belief of Tawheed has its significance in Islam. And not only in Islam, in all religions, in all religions. And that is the basic message of all prophets and all messengers. In the beginning of the creation of human beings, there was only one religion, the religion of Islam and the religion of Tawheed, the religion of oneness of Allah and the religion of Islam. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. All the people were one nation. Then they created problem. Then they went against the commandments of Allah. Then they started committing shirk. Then they associated partners with Allah. So the message of all the prophets was Tawheed, monotheism. And the infidels, they created problems and they committed shirk. And Almighty Allah sent His prophets to remove that filth of shirk. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran regarding shirk that sin is unforgivable. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Verily, Allah will not forgive to be associated. And He may forgive whom He wills. So the shirk and association wouldn't be forgiven. And other sins, that is on the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He will forgive, otherwise He will punish. Then, as the belief of Tawheed is important, in the same token, the belief in Prophethood is also very important. Without the belief in Prophethood, belief in oneness of Allah is not accepted. As we have discussed in one hadith, this matter in detail. Hadith has been narrated from Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayh, And that was by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِي أَحَدٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ يَهُودِيٌ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيٌ ثُمَّ يَمُوتُ وَلَمْ يُؤْمِن بِالَّذِي أُرْسِلْتُ بِهِ إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. That by the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad, no one among this nation, Jew or Christian, hears of me, then dies, not believing in that with which I was sent. But he will be one of the people of the fire. So though he believes in the oneness of Allah, as Jews, they believe in the oneness of Allah. But when they don't believe in the prophethood of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, so they are the people of fire. Now the other word of this hadith, هَلْ تَدْرِي حَقَّ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ. O Muaz, do you know the right of Allah over His bondsmen? So that is obvious, because Almighty Allah is our Lord, He is our Creator, He is our Owner, He is our Sustainer, He provides us sustenance. So He has rights over us. But hadith is mentioning the rights of bondsmen over Allah as well. So in which meaning these rights are? That's not in the meaning in which we have rights on one another. Means I have some rights over other people and other people have some rights over us. In that meaning, people don't have any right over Allah, because He is Owner. He is Ahkamul Hakimin. He is Rabbul Alami. He is Creator. He is Owner. He can do everything. He has all powers. He is all powerful. So the rights of people over Allah is only because of the mercy of Allah. So that is the other kind of mercy of Allah, and that is the blessing of Allah, that Almighty Allah has. Almighty Allah has written mercy on him, and that's why he will show mercy on the people and he will give them reward, because he has promised. Otherwise, if Almighty Allah were to punish people, and if he takes people to account, so then none would be forgiven. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَلَا كِي يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. And if Allah were to punish men for that which they earned, He would not leave a moving, living creature on the surface of the earth, but He gives them respite to an appointed term, to appointed time. So that is the blessing of Allah, that He has given respite to people to repent of their sins. Almighty Allah doesn't punish the people on the spot as they commit any sin. So it doesn't happen that Allah punish them. Allah gives them respite till the end of their life, till the death. Now they may repent of their sins. So that is the respite from Almighty Allah. So now, as far as the matter of right of the people over Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in the Holy Quran, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الزَّحْمَةِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجْهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Your Lord has decreed upon Himself mercy, that any of you who does wrong out of ignorance and then repents after that and corrects himself, indeed He is forgiving and merciful. So that mercy of Allah, that right of people over Allah to forgive those people, is because of the blessing of Allah, because of the mercy of Allah, because Almighty Allah, because of His mercy, has written mercy upon him. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. So that is because of the promise of Allah, Almighty Allah will forgive these people. So that is the meaning of right of people over Almighty Allah. So now, the other word, the حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَىٰ اللَّهِ. What is that right of people over Allah? If they worship Allah alone, and they don't associate anyone with Allah in worship, so then Allah will not punish them, and Almighty Allah will admit them into paradise. So now there is a question. The question is this, that we read Quranic ayat and ahadith, and we find many ayat and many ahadith in which it have been mentioned some sinners would be admitted into hell as well. they would be admitted into hell as well because of their sins, as the killers, the adulterers, the fornicators, and the other kinds of people, the corrupt people. So they would be punished. They might be punished, but there would be some people who will be admitted into hellfire. So what about this hadith? Because this hadith is telling that whosoever worships Allah alone and he abstains from committing sins, so he wouldn't be punished. So if that is the meaning, so what is the meaning of those ayat and hadith in which the sinners people have been mentioned to be admitted into hellfire? The first question. And the second aspect of this question is that if that is the excellence of believing in Allah and in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whosoever believes in Allah and his Prophet, he will be admitted into paradise and he will not be admitted in hellfire. So then what is the need of offering prayer, performing hajj, observing fast, paying zakah and the other good deeds? So what is the need of those? And what is the need of abstaining from sins? Because if any fornicator, any adulterer, any other kind of sinner person, a criminal person has to be admitted into paradise and he will not be admitted into hellfire, so what is the need of abstaining from those? So that is a question. So that's why it is very necessary to learn to know the meaning of this hadith, to learn the meaning of this particular part of hadith. So the meaning of this hadith, according to the explanation and commentaries of Muhaddisin, they have said and they have written in their books, the meaning of this hadith is that the people would enter into hellfire, but they are two kinds. Some people would enter into hell forever, for endless time. They will never be taken out from that. They are polytheists, they are atheists, they are infidels, they are non-believers, they are non-Muslim. They will be entered into hellfire forever. They will never be taken out from there. And the other people, when they are Muslims, if they are admitted into hellfire, they will be taken out from that. So now here in this hadith is mentioning that if a person is believer, he believes in Allah and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if because of his sins, if he is admitted into hellfire, he will never enter into hellfire forever. So the negation of entering into hellfire is only in one way, means they will never enter into hellfire forever. For a certain time and for a certain period, so they may be entered into hellfire. So the negation is only for the punishment forever, not the every kind of punishment. So that is the meaning. The second meaning, that the meaning Almighty Allah will not punish those people who believe in Allah and who not associate, partner with Allah. So the meaning of this hadith is that Almighty Allah will never punish those people who are believers if they fulfill the requirements of that belief. If they fulfill the requirements of that belief, so then Almighty Allah will never punish them. But if they commit sins, if they don't fulfill the rites of their faith and belief, so then because of their committing sins and because of their ignorance and negligence in this matter, Almighty Allah will punish them. So that is a meaning. The third meaning, this hadith is about those people who accepted Islam, who accepted faith, and right after accepting their faith, without the time of any prayer, they died. They died and they didn't find any time to offer prayer. They didn't find any time to pay zakah. They didn't find any time to perform hajj and the other duties of Islam. So as soon as they accepted faith and Islam, all of their sins were forgiven. And as they died at the same time, so because of their faith in Allah and in the messengership of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will never be punished. Almighty Allah will forgive their sins because of their faith, because of their accepting Iman. So that is the meaning of this hadith. Now, the words of Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he is requesting to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, afala ubashiru bihin nas? Shall I not inform other people of this glad tidings? They would be happy and they would receive the same glad tidings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade him to disclose this glad tidings to them and said, La tubashiruhum fayattakilu. Don't give this glad tidings to them. They would rely on it only. They will rely it only because if they misunderstand, if they misunderstand the meaning of hadith, so then they would take the meaning of this hadith in the same way, that there is no need of offering prayer and fulfilling the other duties of Islam. So then they will take this hadith for leaving the obligations of Islam, though that was not the meaning of this hadith, and that was not meant and intended from this hadith. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade him from that. And that is the method. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed that method which had been mentioned in the Quran. Allah azza wa jalla has said in the Holy Quran, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'idati al-hasana. Invite towards the path of your Lord. Ud'u ila sabili rabbika. Invite towards the path of your Lord bil hikmah, with wisdom. وَالْمَعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ and with good admonition. So, wisdom is necessary in preaching of Islam, because otherwise, sometimes it happens, those people who don't use that wisdom in their preaching, so sometimes they harm the purpose and they harm the message of Islam because of their lack of wisdom. So that's why wisdom is very important. And that was the method of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in preaching Islam. Because Allah Azza wa Jal has given him some particular qualities and some particular attributes. As Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in the Holy Quran, Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nazira. Verily, we have sent you with the truth, a bringer of glad tidings and a warner. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give glad tidings, as well as he would warn people from the hellfire. So that was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is sunnah. Means it shouldn't happen that all the time we are only warning the people, and there is no glad tidings there. No, that is not the way. And that method is also not appropriate, to give glad tidings to the people and never warn them from the hellfire. So that method is also not appropriate. So that's why it is important to combine these two. Sometimes we mention the blessings of Allah, the mercy of Allah, and the bounties of Allah, and sometimes we warn the people from the hellfire, and we mention the power of Allah, the punishment from Almighty Allah to the people. So that is the best method of preaching. And that's why scholars and the orators who make speeches and who admonish other people, so they should adopt this method which has been reported from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They should be tabshir, means giving glad tidings, and there should be inzar as well, warning people as well. And using wisdom is very important. Sometimes the message is very good. And that must be conveyed to people. But because of the lack of wisdom, some people, they convey the message of Allah in the way in which they harm their own message. So that's why adopting the wisdom is very important. So now, the last words of hadith. That Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu told this hadith and gave this glad tidings to his companions at his deathbed, to abstain from sins, to avoid sinning. What is the meaning of that? The meaning of that is that if someone is asked a question and he knows that, but without any Sharia reason, he doesn't tell the answer, he doesn't give the answer, that person would be sinner. And there is a particular warning for such people. As hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, Man su'ila an ilmin alimahu thumma katamahu uljima yawm al-qiyamati bilijamin min nar. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever is asked about some knowledge that he knows, then he conceals it, he will be bridled with bridle of fire. He will be bridled with the bridle of fire. So the person who knows a knowledge and then he is asked about that and without any Sharia reason, he doesn't tell that. So he would be sinner and he would be bridled with the bridle of fire on the day of judgment. So because concealing knowledge is a kind of sin, and that is a sin. So that's why Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told me regarding this and he has given me this glad tiding, and that is a kind of knowledge. If I conceal till now, and if I conceal till my death, and I don't disclose this hadith to others, so might be I would be afflicted, I would be fall in the warning of that kind of hadith. So that's why at that time Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that hadith in front of other Sahaba-i Kiram and other companions. So that is the meaning of this hadith. And this hadith shows the significance of the belief of oneness of Allah and the messengership of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now we move to the next hadith. And that hadith had been reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The text of hadith, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال الله كذبني ابن آدم ولم يكن له ذلك وشتمني ولم يكن له ذلك أما تكذيبه إجايا أن يقول إني لن أعيده كما بدأته وليس أول الخلق بأهون علي من إعادته وأما شتمه إجايا أن يقول اتخذ الله ولدا وأنا الصمد الذي لم ألد ولم أولد ولم يكن لي كفوا أحد. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, Almighty Allah has stated, the son of Adam belies me and he hasn't the right to do so, and he abuses me and he doesn't have the right to do so. His belying me is his saying that I will never recreate him as I created him for the first time. And his abusing me is his saying that Allah has begotten a son, a child, while I am as-sabad, free from all needs, and all are in need of him, who begets not, nor was he begotten, and there is none comparable unto me. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has reported this hadith. The topic of this hadith is belief of resurrection, belief in the day of judgment. And then that belief that Almighty Allah is free from offspring, free from sons. He is not in the need of such things. He is free from that. As in the previous hadith, the topic was the oneness of Allah, monotheism. And in this hadith, the topic is belief of the day of judgment, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla is free from children. And the importance of this belief is also obvious, and everyone knows, every Muslim knows very well, that as we recited Surah Al-Fatiha, and in Surah Al-Fatiha, Iyaka Na'budu is about Tawheed. Iyaka Na'budu, O Allah, you alone we worship. And before that ayah, the words are Maliki Yawmiddin, Almighty Allah, Lord of the Day of Judgment. All praise due to Allah, Rahman, Rahim, and Maliki Yawmiddin, Lord of the Day of Judgment, Lord of the Day of Recompense. So what is that Day of Recompense? That is Qiyamah. So it means and it shows that as we recite Surah Al-Fatiha daily, so as we come to know daily and we revise daily the belief of oneness of Allah, in the same way we revise belief in the day of judgment as well. Why? Because that belief is very, very important and necessary. That is the main belief, to abstain from sins. Because sometimes we abstain from sins because of other people, because of law, because of the fear of punishment in this world. The people are watching us and they can take us to account. So because of fear of those people, we abstain from sins. But if someone is king and ruler and he is the most powerful king, none can punish him in this world. So why does he abstain from sin and why will he abstain from sins? Because he doesn't have any fear of punishment. And then if a person is committing a sin in privacy and none is watching him, so then because of what he abstains from that sin? So that time the belief in Allah and the belief in the day of judgment will forbid that person from sins. That belief will stop that person from sins, from committing sins. Why? Because he knows, though the people are not watching me at the moment, and none will punish me here in this world, but the day will come when I would be present in the court of Allah. And Almighty Allah will ask me about all of my deeds, whether those are good or bad. At that time, I have to answer about my deeds. If they are good, so then I would get salvation. And if those are bad, so then I might be punished. So that fear of the day of judgment can make a person away and keep a person away from committing sins. So that's why this belief is very important. So, and that's why in Quran, when we recite the Holy Quran, so how many places in Quran Almighty Allah has mentioned this belief? That is the biggest topic of the Holy Quran. If we recite the Holy Quran, so really I would say that in most of the surahs of Quran, in most of the chapters of Quran, the belief in the day of judgment, the belief in resurrection have been mentioned. As Surah Yasin, if you recite Surah Yasin, so then you will find there, what is the topic of that? The topic of Surah Yasin is oneness of Allah and the belief in the day of judgment. That is the main topic of that Surah Yasin. Then Surah Al-Qiyamah, so with the name of Surah Al-Qiyamah, there is a surah in the Holy Quran, and that surah is about the day of judgment. Then in many other surahs, the topic of those surahs is Qiyamah, or a lot of things have been mentioned about the day of judgment. So that's why Allah SWT has mentioned this belief in Quran again and again, because that is very, very important. Now the words of hadith, Allah SWT mentioned, this hadith is called Hadith-e-Qudsi. This hadith is called Hadith-e-Qudsi because though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning this hadith, but because the words are from Almighty Allah. So when the words are from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the meaning are from Almighty Allah, that is Hadith-e-Qudsi. Normally, when we read a hadith, in most of our hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned something. Words are from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the meanings are also from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and words are ascribed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning that I did that, I will do that, if you do that, if he does that, that kind of things. But in Hadith-e-Qudsi, the words are ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jal, but those words are from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this hadith, the words are qala Allahu kadzabani ibn Adam. Almighty Allah has stated, kadzabani ibn Adam, the son of Adam belied me. The son of Adam belied me. So the words are being ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is the meaning of Hadith-e-Qudsi. So the words of this hadith is kadzabani ibn Adam walam yakul lahu dhalika. The son of Adam belied me and he doesn't have a right to do so. He doesn't have right to do so. How did son of Adam belie Allah Azza wa Jal? In the way that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in the Holy Quran 100 times, more than 100 times, about the day of judgment. The day of judgment will come. That will come into existence. You people would be resurrected. You will be presented in the court of Allah. So Almighty Allah has mentioned in the Holy Quran in many places, as I mentioned earlier. So when Allah Azza wa Jal is informing us of the day of judgment, in the verse of the Holy Quran, Maliki Yawmiddin, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَلِيمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So in these ayat, in these verses, in these chapters of the Quran, when the day of judgment, the belief in the day of judgment has been mentioned, and if someone is saying that the day of judgment will never come, Almighty Allah is telling the day of judgment will come, and some people are saying the day of judgment will never come, it means in that way they are belying Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that is the meaning of these words, but Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned here, kadhabani ibnu adam wa lam yakul lahu zalika, son of Adam has belied me and he doesn't have right to do so. So that is the first part of this hadith, and then the other detail of the day of judgment, inshallah, will mention in our next episode. May Allah grant us tawfiq to learn lessons from the sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
In the light of hadith, 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 in the